Certainly good to be here today. I want to talk to you today on the subject of living without fear. How many of us live with fear? Maybe 9/11 still has an effect on us. We think it may happen again. We think it may happen right here in Alabama, maybe. Maybe we're afraid of growing old. We're afraid of dying. We're afraid of being able to not care for ourselves. We lock our doors. We come inside at night. We're careful not to go back outside because we don't know who might be lurking in the darkness. We live with fear, don't we, many times in our life. But can we live without fear? Do you think it's possible to live without fear? So many times in the Bible, Jesus said, fear not. Fear not. You remember the story about Peter when he walked on the water in Matthew chapter 14. And in verse 28, Peter told the Lord when he saw him walking on the water, he said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. So you're walking on the water, and if it is you, you tell me to come, and I'll walk on the water too. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. So he's doing fine, even though the wind is already blowing, even though it's already rough on the sea, he's doing fine, isn't he? Until he began to think about what's going on. He's walking on the water. And then he got afraid, and then what happened? He began to sink. Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Peter, you're just doing it. Things are fine. Why is your faith so small? Why did you doubt, Peter? You ever wonder about him asking us the same thing? All these years he's been with us, all these times, all these troubles we've gone through. And yet how many times do we doubt? Part of the good news is that Jesus came to set us free from fear. Part of the gospel. He doesn't intend that we go through life afraid of every situation that might threaten us. He does not intend you to live that way. Not at all. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and 7, 2 Timothy 1 and 7, Paul says here, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. And so if I have the spirit of fear, who gives it to me? God doesn't give it to me, Paul said to Timothy. So if I've got it, where did I get it? Well, of course, Satan gives it to me. He wants you to be afraid. He wants you to worry. He wants you to be troubled. He said, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he says, what does God give us? Power, love, and a sound mind. Now think about those three things. God gives you the spirit of power. What does that mean? You say, well, the Bible always teaches depending on God. That's right. That's what he teaches you. But Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. That's where the power is from God. He wants you to depend on him. He also gives you the spirit of love. Comes natural to love some people, doesn't it? It should. You love your kids, you love your grandkids, you love your parents, you love your friends. You have this spirit of love, and God gives that to you. It's a gift from God. Remember what the Bible says? In the last days, perilous times will come. And people will not have, in one of those things, natural affection. What is natural affection? We read about people today that don't have natural affection. They kill their children. They kill their parents. They kill other people. They don't have natural affection as you would have. God doesn't give people that. He gives us the spirit of power and of love, and He says also, and of a sound mind. God gives you your sound mind to make good decisions. He don't give you the spirit of fear. He does not give you that. He does not give you the spirit of fear. He says so right here. Satan gives you the spirit of fear. God gives you the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind. Use your good mind. Use your good judgment. But you say, well, preacher, the Bible says we should fear God. What does that mean? You ever wonder about that? What does it mean by fearing God? You remember the old Bible where Solomon said that? Here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep His commandments. It's the whole duty of man. You remember that, don't you? You know what that means? It comes from the word here in Ecclesiastes. It comes from the word, let me see if I can find it here. Yare, the Hebrew word yare. Fear does. It does not mean being afraid of God. Remember that. It means to reverence God. It means to be in awe of God. It does not mean to be afraid of God. The Bible never teaches that. The Christian should be afraid of God. Fear God means to be in reverence God, to be in awe of God. That's why you got to be so careful in using His name. Okay? When you say the word gosh, you just cursed. You say the word gee whiz, G is short for Jesus. You don't use that word. You say the word good gracious, that's cursing. Because you're talking about the gracious of God. You use it in a slang manner. Great day is judgment day. Be careful of your words. Be careful of what you say. That's why the Bible says that your yeas be yea and your nays be nay. You ain't got to add anything to your noes or your yeses. Just say no or yes. And so the Bible talks about fear, and it's not talking about being afraid of God. It's talking about you reverence God. You stand in awe of God. In the Old Bible and also the New Testament too, it's what's found in Romans 8 and 15. In Hebrews 12 and 28, it still remains here, reverent respect when the word fear is used. It does not mean, please remember this, people have asked me about this. And they say, why should I fear God? Well, you don't fear God. Now, you know God can send you to hell. And if you're not living for God, of course you should fear. Because of what He'll do to you. But He's talking about here in fear God, He's talking about to have respect for God, to have reverence for God, to stand in awe of God. Fear God. Keep His commandments. He also says in Philippians 2 and 12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now what does that mean? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This means that you don't trust your feelings. And you're very careful in serving God. Okay? I can't just say, well, you know, to me, feels okay. Feels okay to me. I don't see anything wrong with it myself. That's what the Bible's talking about here. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You best be careful of your feelings. Go back to what he says about a sound mind. And where are we going to find, and where should we use our sound mind in doing? Go into God's Word. You can't go by your feelings. Remember what the old Bible said? The way of every man is clean in his own eyes. Remember that? We have that ability. I tell you, I do. If I want to do something, I can clean it up in my mind to do it. I can. I can clean it up in my mind. But now when I stop and think about it, I say, no, you don't need to do that. You don't need to watch that movie. You don't need to go there. You don't need to be around that. But we got to be careful about that. That's why it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Your feelings may be, well, you know, it's good for mom and daddy or whatever else, and it's good for me. Well, what does the Bible say? You can't go by your feelings. You got to go by God's Word. And so you got to be careful in your service to God, okay? Because you want to be pleasing to God. You want to be sure God approves of your worship, don't you? You don't want to come here today and worship Him. Vainly do you. Jesus talked about that. In vain they worship me, teaching the doctrine and the commandments of men. Because vain worship is useless worship. It's no good. It doesn't work. God does not accept vain worship. So that's what he's talking about. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Also he says, 1 Corinthians 10 and 12, wherefore him, let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. Just because you think you're standing, he says, you best be careful because you may be falling. Do you realize that you might be falling? You know, sometimes we compare ourselves among ourselves. You know the Bible condemns that? Paul's letter to Corinthians. He said they measure themselves among themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. That's what we may do sometimes. You say, well, I'm better off than so-and-so because he does this and he does that. And he doesn't do this and I do this. That's not the wise thing to do, is it? Is it? We know better. We can't compare ourselves among ourselves. We compare ourselves to what God has written for us. So we take heed lest we fall. Christians should never be afraid of God. When the word fear is used in the sense of being afraid of God, it has no place in the heart of Christians. It has no place in your heart to be afraid of God. God is your friend. God loves you. God cares for you. And you say too, I love God. I love God so much. Why should you be afraid of someone like that? They gave His Son to die for your sins. Why should you be afraid of Him? Certainly we reverence Him. And we stand in awe of Him. We realize He's powerful. But we realize also that God is love and God cares about us and He cares about our troubles and trials. And why should we fear men on this earth? Why should we fear that? In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. Now this is something, this verse 5, it's something we need to think carefully about at this time of year. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Don't stand around and talk about what you want. And be content with such things you have. Well, that's a toughie, isn't it? Because everybody else is getting stuff. Things. What they call Friday, Black Friday. Did you read about where in New York, where they went in that Walmart and this guy that opened the door was trampled to death? You read about that? You know what this sister said at church Wednesday night? She said, I've gone to these stores where they got like 4 and 5 items for a certain price. And she said, I've seen people be there first and get them in their basket. And I've seen people take them out of their basket when they weren't looking before they paid for them. And they would take them and put them in their basket. And they would go pay for them. Why are we so covetous? Why do we want so much more? Can we be content with such things we have? It's not easy, is it? For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, verse 6 says, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. Boldly say, don't talk about what you want. Be content with such things you have. God is our refuge, the psalmist David said. A very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear. Psalms 46, 1 and 2. God is our loving Father. But what about these perilous times we're living in today? What about America? There's so many people would, frankly, like to destroy, wouldn't they? Many people don't like us. Many people don't like America. And we may see someday in America, we may see these people that commit suicide to kill other people. We hear about that in other lands, don't we? We know about 9/11. We know about what happened on that day where those people took their lives and used those planes for weapons to take the lives of many other people. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul gives us a little bit of insight into his life on this earth. And if you think Paul's life is just a easy life, well, you know, as you study about his life, it was not that way. He suffered much for the cause of Christ in this world. He talked about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. He goes on to say in verse 16, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. He said, this old body of mine is perishing. And I tell you, as you get older, you find out you can't do the things you once did. Your strength is not there. I find out now, Sue asks me sometimes to open a jar in the kitchen. I said, we're going to get to the point where neither one can't open that jar. And it's just the way life is, isn't it? Just the way it is. Your strength is not what it used to be. But Paul was talking about troubles in his life. He was talking about persecutions. He's talking about so many things. The devil has the power of death. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, from our Lord, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil. Do you know that? The devil has the power of death. And delivered them, come out me and you, who through fear of death, now how many of us live in fear of death? Okay? How many of us live in fear of death? You say, well, never done that before. So I fear the unknown. And you know what that does to us? We're going to say right here, it keeps us in bondage. We have a bondage if we live in fear of death. Look at what he says in verse 15 of Hebrews 2. And deliver them who, through fear of death, were all their lives subject to bondage. He says, so if you live in fear of death, you live all your life in bondage. Now, friends, that's the ultimate terror right there, isn't it? We're not living for the Lord because we do fear death. If we're not living for the Lord, we definitely fear death. You ever read what I had a list one time of these, I guess famous wouldn't be a good word for it, but people that were infidels. Some of their closing words of their life, what they said, and one of them said, "Oh God, if it is a God, save my soul if I have a soul." Another one said, "Oh God, I'm about to take a leap in the dark. Send only a child to be with me." Thomas Paine, I believe one said that. He's very well known. "Send even a child to be with me. I'm about to take a leap in the dark." Yes, my friends, death is coming. But you know what death is? Have you ever passed through a door? Sure, you pass through doors, don't you? You pass through a door when you get into your car, when you go out of your house, when you come in the building. Death is a door. That's what it is. It's a door to enter into the next life, which is eternity. See, once you die, you enter into the realm of eternity where time means nothing anymore. Time means nothing. It's a door that you enter into the presence of God. A door. That's what death is, a door. And we should not fear death as we live for the Lord. Brother Clifford Moore, some of you knew him, I know. But he died been over 10 years ago. He was 84 when he died. And for many years he enjoyed good health. He had a stroke and had a heart attack. Before he died, he said, "I'm ready to go." And he also said this, "I'm going with a smile on my face." Never heard anybody say that before. That's what he said. "I'm going with a smile on my face." We should have no fear of hell. Let's talk about that. A part of the fear of death is the fear of meeting God in judgment. A fear of going to hell. But Jesus frees us from that fear. He said in Matthew 10:28, "Be not afraid of them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is called the lake of fire and brimstone. It's called the second death. But hell should have no terror for those that have faith and live for Jesus Christ. Because you know you're not going there. You know you're not going there. Let me emphasize that. Paul talked about it at the close of his life. "I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I've kept the faith." I've kept the faith. How much have we kept the faith? How much do we keep the faith? How much do we live by faith, my friends? The Apostle Paul writes, "The righteous shall live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight." But he also says this, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." How strong is your faith? Now, let me say this to you this morning. There's no shortcut to increasing your faith. If you're going to increase your faith, you've got to do what he says right here. "Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God." You've got to read and study your Bible. You will not have strong faith if you don't read your Bible. You will absolutely not have it. Oh, you may go to church with your Sunday best on. You may shake hands. You may sing "How I Love the Lord." You may pray a good prayer. But if you don't study your Bible, you are not going to have strong faith. That's what he says right here. "Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God." If you don't get your head in this book, you are not going to have it. It's not easy. It don't just come like natural. You're not going to have it. You've got to get your head in the Word if you're going to change. If you're not going to get your head in the book, you're not going to change. You're going to be just like you are the day you die. If you don't have strong faith. Now, you may have strong faith because you may study His Word. You may make sure that every day you study His Word and you meditate on His Word. Meditation is so important. There is no shortcut. We got to apply ourselves to the learning of God's Word. We got to apply ourselves to that. As we learn how God has dealt with His people, and think about that. You remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? You remember what they told King Nebuchadnezzar? When they was called before him because they would not worship that golden image that he made? And he said, if anybody doesn't do it, you're going to be thrown into a fiery furnace. Now, what if that happened today? Just what if the government of the United States says, okay, in every state of the Union, we're going to put up a golden image. In every first day of the month, everybody has got to turn towards that direction of that golden image and fall down on his face and pledge allegiance or worship that golden image. What if that happened to us? And if you don't, there are going to be people watching you, they will find you out, and you will be thrown into a fiery furnace. What would you do? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, O king, we are not careful to answer you. Meaning, we don't care. That's what that means. We don't care about it, Mr. King. We're going to tell you what we are not going to do. And what we're not going to do, we're not going to worship that golden image that you set up. We're not going to do it. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar was just full of fury. Huh? Make that fire hotter. The men that threw him in were consumed by the flame, by the heat. Did you know that? That's right. Hey. But you know what? The Lord was on their side. When you read stories like that about Daniel, delivered from the lion's den, you read about Noah. You need to read to your kids about Noah. You know that? Read to your kids about Noah. What he did for years and years building this ark. Read to them about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Read to them about Daniel. Read to them about David and Goliath. They need to hear these stories. You need to be reminded of these stories. I do too. Because in these stories we see the power of God. And you know what it does to you? It increases your faith. Because you know that we serve the same God today that He was back then. The same God that was there that He was back in those days. Many Christians are fearful because they're not quite sure of their salvation. Not quite sure. In 1 John 1, chapter 1, and verse 7, 1 John 1 and chapter 1 and verse 7, John says, but if you walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Walk in the light. Study your Bibles. Study your Bibles. If you're going to increase your faith, you've got to study your Bibles. You're not going to do it without that. Walk in the light. Remember what He said about what God gives you? The power of what? He doesn't give you the spirit of fear, does He? He gives you a sound mind. The spirit of a sound mind. Power and love and of a sound mind. Use your good judgments. Use your good senses. Make good decisions with yourself, with your kids, with your grandkids. Why should I live in fear? God tells me, don't fear. Fear not, Jesus says over and over again. He says, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. And if I have the peace of Jesus Christ in my life, do you think I'm going to live with fear? You think you are? Absolutely not. Because you have the peace that Jesus says, the Bible describes, that passes understanding. It's a peace that man cannot give. It's a peace that even though how much money you got in the bank, you cannot have this peace. You cannot buy this peace that God gives. He gives it to us as we obey Him and live for Him. And we have this song that we sing today. Blessed Assurance. Blessed Assurance. Assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Yes, my friends, we can live without fear. We can live without fear. Believe in God. Believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins. Confess that name by saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Today you can come and be baptized for the forgiveness of your past sins. If you are a member of the church, perhaps you have before been baptized, but you've gone away, you've gone astray, come back today and confess your faults. Come back today and ask for forgiveness of your sins. God will forgive you. Won't you come us together? We stand and we sing.
Tis for you and me, let us haste, oh haste to the free. Tis a fountain of love from the source above, and He gives us all freely. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come to